It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to The Inner Life, our program on spiritual direction. And today, divine mercy, God's great love for all of us. Yes, for every one of us. For every one of us, sinful creatures. And yes, even you. Here's the truth. God created all of us, and He loves each and every one of us. Now, you may not believe that God could not possibly love someone like you, that your life is such a great big mess. And God's love is just not possible for you, but it's not true. No matter what you think about your ability to be loved, God's love for you is real. It's mercy beyond belief. And we're going to talk about that today, and here to help us on the journey, back with us once again, our spiritual director today, Father Dave Heaney. Father Dave is a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, pastor of St. Bruno Catholic Church in Whittier, California. His latest book is Luke 10 Leadership, How to Succeed in Parish Ministry, a book on parish leadership, and that published by Ave Maria Press. Father Dave, of course, has been part of our Relevant Radio family for 4 years, and most recently as host of the Family Rosary Across America, one of our regular contributors here on The Inner Life. Father Dave Heaney, welcome back. Great to have you with us today.
Always great to be with you, Chuck. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And divine mercy is what we're going to be talking about today. And as we do every day, we'll open up our phone lines, inviting you to join us on the program, your experience of God's divine mercy. We'd love to hear your story, and we'll get the phone lines open here in just a moment. But Father Dave Heaney, get us started. Divine mercy. Can we start by just making the point, you making the point, that whatever we think, however incredible we believe God's mercy is, it's not enough? That God's mercy is so big, so amazing, that we can't truly comprehend the magnitude of it?
You know, you began by saying it's beyond belief. And I can understand that, because we don't get that kind of mercy from the people around us. Maybe that's why it's so hard to understand God's mercy. I think the first thing we have to recognize is that God treats us, God relates to us in a very different way than we often treat each other. His love and His mercy is so overwhelming that it is sometimes hard to believe. And that's a tragedy, really. We really should just take God at His word. We should really take Jesus at His word and at His behavior, that He came to express the love of God and God's mercy precisely so that our lives would change and be happier. That's the purpose of God's mercy, is to make our life change and to find that way of happiness that is His will for us. So it's different than the way we often hear from, that we often experience from others. That's the beauty of it. That makes it hard to believe, but I think at the end of the day, we just have to really take God at His word, trust in His message that He says over and over again through parables and messages and, of course, through His own behavior. And it's certainly that remarkable line on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He says it at the moment of His execution, while He is being crucified. I mean, what else do we need to know? Just trust in that, make your life rely on that, and you will find the happiness that God means for you. His mercy is overwhelming.
Yeah, and then, Father Dave, maybe the question is, how do we experience more of God's mercy in our own lives?
Well, His mercy is always available, and all that Jesus ever asked for amongst all the sinful people He met in the Gospels is a changed life. He's not interested in punishment. He's not interested in retribution or vengeance or revenge. You know, the woman caught in adultery was guilty. She was actually guilty of that sin. It's publicly known. Everybody in the town knew it. And all Jesus wants from her is a changed life. That beautiful line at the end, when he stops the stoning, he says, I don't want this woman punished, but I want a changed life. And he looks at her and says, go and sin, do this sin no more. And really, in all of the different sections of where Jesus encounters a sinful person or someone possessed by a spirit, he's looking for that person to walk away on a different path. God's mercy is available to us, and all he asks for is a changed life. He's not interested in punishment, no revenge. If something bad happens to you in this world, if you get sick or fall down and break a bone, that's not a message from God. It's not a punishment. The only thing that our Lord is interested in is in a changed life. And why is he interested in that? Because if we make the change that God wants for us, we'll be happier. We'll be more satisfied. We'll find more peace. We'll have less anxiety. What God wants for us is our happiness. And the only reason he asked for that change of life is precisely for that. Because the road that we have been on, that's maybe hurting ourselves or hurting others, is not bringing us any happiness. It's bringing us sadness. So how can we experience more of God's mercy in our lives? We just accept it. We understand that it's there. We don't doubt it. We don't second-guess it. And we simply follow our Lord's directions, and we just say, okay, this is the path that our Lord wants me to go on. All of a sudden, I find myself having a happier life, and just everything just works out better. So just trust in God's mercy. Trust that it's there, and make that decision to make any changes. You know, we do that in confession. We make that promise of amendment. It's not a guarantee that we won't sin anymore. It's not a guarantee about the future. It's just our good intentions, our promise to do what we can. And if we fall again the next day, well, we simply honestly acknowledge it and start over. So God's mercy really is a tremendous source of energy for us, a tremendous source of power and motivation to keep on making the changes that we need until we finally get to be that person that God wants us to be.
Father Dave Heaney is our spiritual director on The Inner Life today. We're talking about God's divine mercy. Let's open up our phone line, sponsored by Charity Mobile, the pro-life phone company. It's a toll-free phone number if you would like to join us on the program today, 888-914-9149. Don't forget you can email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But as we talk about divine mercy today, what has been your experience of God's divine mercy? When have you seen God's mercy working in your life? Again, toll-free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. And you brought up confession, certainly experiencing God's divine mercy. In the sacraments, certainly the Eucharist, the sacrifice of Jesus on the altar, but confession. How many times when we go in and just feel, I mean, literally experience the lifting of the burdens and the sins just being lifted from us. It's just an incredible taste of God's mercy, isn't it?
Well, and I'm lucky in that sense because I've been hearing confessions now for 42 years.
Wow.
And I see that pretty much every week, especially when someone comes in and says it's been 20 years since my last confession or 15 years or a long time, or I can't even remember when the last time I went. That's almost every week now. Maybe, I don't know if this pandemic is having a powerful spiritual effect, but more and more people are returning to confession, which is a beautiful thing. And this is the thing that they experience, which is, again, I think sometimes hard to believe at the moment because they may confess something that's really serious, a very powerful thing that's bothered them for years, kind of made them feel terrible for a long, long time. And look how easy the sacrament of confession is. All you have to do is say what you did and make that promise of amendment, and God offers that complete and total forgiveness. Now look what happens when sometimes we have that in our marriage or a family or a neighbor. When two neighbors get mad at each other and they hurt each other, sometimes that feeling of resentment can last for years and years. And if you ask for forgiveness, sometimes there's tremendous payback that's being asked for. You know, if you want my forgiveness, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this and this, and you have to do it for years. Sometimes we have that in marriages where, you know, let's say there's been an infidelity and maybe the spouse comes back and is penitent and is sorry and wants to make up for it, but the other spouse makes them pay for a long, long time. And, you know, no wonder people don't believe in mercy or forgiveness. But in confession, God doesn't ask for that kind of payback over months or years or, you know, and again, not punishment or revenge. Just that promise of amendment, that promise of a changed life, God makes it so easy for us to get on with our life and to put that sin behind us because all we have to do is say it. Say it honestly, say it sincerely, and then we hear that beautiful phrase that, you know, your sins are forgiven. And then we're given a penance, again, which is not a punishment. It's really a spiritual recommendation to strengthen our spiritual life back and our relationship back with our Lord. So all these beautiful events that we have in our church precisely to help a person move from one path to a better path, from a path away from God to a path towards God. And the mechanism, the lubrication in a sense that makes that transition easy or really satisfying is that experience of the mercy of God, that he wants us back. He's not going to punish us or, you know, exact all forms of payback. He just wants us to be happier by walking in his footsteps.
Yeah. And then I'm curious, Father Dave, in confession, I don't think you're going to break the seal of confession here, but are you able to, quote unquote, see the burdens being lifted from someone who maybe hasn't been to confession for a long, long time? Are you able to see those burdens being lifted? Are you able to see them experience God's mercy in that?
Yes, 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 1,000 times yes. Sometimes it's through tears. Sometimes it's a great smile. Sometimes it's a great release of breath. They just take a big sigh, and you can just kind of feel that weight leaving them. And then there's often a thank you and, you know, kind of some words of appreciation. And then just a very beautiful sense of relaxation. There really is this sense of a weight being, you know, dropped, a weight being lifted. So, yes, I have seen it. It's very satisfying. It's very moving, especially when they finally feel. And I'll say to them, I say, look, the memory of this sin may be with you forever. You may recall this sin before. That's, you know, our brain does do that. But you must know that in the eyes of God, it is completely forgiven. That helps them, too, because they don't get frightened if the memory of that sin keeps coming back to them. It's not a sign of anything. It's not a sign that their sin wasn't forgiven. God doesn't erase memories, but he does erase that sin that through that forgiveness and mercy. So I try to assure them that, too, that, you know, forgiveness doesn't erase the memory, but it certainly erases that sin in the mind of God. They are completely and forgiven. And also I'll tell them, you must never confess this particular sin again. If you do it again, of course, confess it. But this particular sin is done and gone with. You never have to confess that particular sin again. It is gone.
Yeah, well, God's divine mercy, and that's what we're talking about today. What's been your experience of divine mercy? When have you seen God's mercy working in your life? Father Dave Heaney is our spiritual director. If you'd like to join us, toll-free phone number 888-914-9149. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. A certain Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now, there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet weeping and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
If you're looking for a little help on your journey of faith, our priests are here for you. Call now, 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. Or email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
And thank you for joining us on the program today. Just a reminder that our Relevant Radio toll-free studio line is sponsored by Charity Mobile, the pro-life phone company. More information about their cell phones and monthly plans all available at charitymobile.com. Thanks for joining us on the program. If you're just tuning in, Father Dave Heaney is our spiritual director. Father Dave, a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, pastor of St. Bruno Catholic Church in Whittier, California, and one of our regular contributors here on the program, talking today about God's divine mercy. Phone lines are open, and what's been your experience of divine mercy? Toll free, again, if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. So, Father Dave, a real quick follow-up. We were talking about confession before we went to the break, and that kind of brings up the point. I think our Catholic faith is sometimes criticized as being, quote-unquote, too easy. We hear people say, well, we can go sin all we want. We just need to go to confession, have it all forgiven, and then we can just go right back and sin some more. That's not exactly how that works, but how do you answer? Because we hear that criticism, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd say a couple of things. Like I was saying before, you know, it seems easy because in the normal way that humans react to each other, we often exact punishment and payback when someone hurts us. And so it does seem kind of strange in the Catholic sacrament of confession that all you have to do is acknowledge your sins and say them, and God brings forgiveness. So, again, you know, God relates to us differently than the way we do with each other very often. But I think more important, we can't game the sacrament. You know, it depends on honesty and sincerity. You know, you can't, you know, go to confession on your way to robbing a bank. You know, that's just kind of inauthentic. It's not being honest. So if we are in confession, it really means that we are sincerely sorry, and that we are making that promise of amendment. We're not, now again, we're not guaranteeing that we're not going to fall again, that we're not going to be jealous or envious or gossip, but we're going to try to. We're going to make a sincere effort to do so, and that's all that's required. So certainly it depends on our honesty and true contrition that we sincerely want to make that change. You know, it's interesting that we're having this conversation on today when we have this beautiful gospel that we just heard, a long gospel, but certainly worth listening to, about the sorrowful woman who sincerely, who evidently is sincere because of the way she's crying and anointing Jesus' feet and kind of doing really these remarkable acts of sincere contrition. And then Jesus says, you know, because you are sorry, because you clearly want to change your life, your faith has saved you, your sins are forgiven. Now, I often tell our students in school or, you know, when I'm giving a talk, if you come to confession, I will grant that it's very easy to fool me. You can fake me out quite easily. I'm not going to be suspicious. I'm not going to be looking for lying. I'm just going to take everyone at their word. So you can fake me out, but you can't fake God out. You can't game the sacrament. It really is, and just like everything in our life, every experience is much more satisfying and fulfilling when it is honest, when it is sincere, and when it is authentic. So the confession is meant to be this, you know, this true, honest, authentic experience where you place yourself before God as you are, you know, warts and all. This is who I am, Lord, and I'm sorry for what I've done, and I would love for your grace and your mercy that I can turn around and, you know, and again, find the life that you that is your will for me. Because when we do walk in that footsteps of our Lord, we naturally feel satisfied, more at peace, and happier.
Father Dave Heaney is our spiritual director talking about divine mercy. What's been your experience of divine mercy? Toll free, if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Day 10, Mother Most Chaste, pray for us. It's not that the church is hung up on sex or the church is prudish. It's simply that the church promotes and defends human dignity and recognizes that the human race is the pinnacle of God's visible creation. Human beings have been created for eternity to give glory to God. That's why the church guards and elevates human sexuality and protects it in the sacred bond of matrimony. Children have a right to know their mother and father. Children have a right to be born and raised in a family. And the human race is a blessing to planet Earth. That's why the virtue of chastity is necessary. It safeguards sex and places it within the stability of marriage. Sex is always safe when used as God has intended it between a man and a woman, open to life and within marriage. In that context, it is holy. Mother Most Chaste, pray for the church and our nation.
Receive these free daily messages by signing up at relevantradio.com/novena.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life spiritual directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
And thank you for joining us on the program. I'm Chuck Knapp, along with Jim Shaper sitting in the producer's seat today. Nick Schmitz is with us every day as well. And if you're just tuning in, Father Dave Heaney is our spiritual director. Father Dave, a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, pastor of St. Bruno Catholic Church in Whittier, California. Always like to mention his latest book, published by Ave Maria Press, Luke 10 Leadership, How to Succeed in Parish Ministry. And Father Dave is one of our regular contributors here on The Inner Life, really been part of our Relevant Radio family for about 4 years now, most recently host of Family Rosary Across America, by the way, which you can hear every evening at 7 p.m. Central right here on Relevant Radio. And talking about Divine Mercy today, so I would be remiss if I did not mention the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which we pray every day. Drew Mariani leads that 3 p.m. Central right here on Relevant Radio. And just a reminder, top of the hour, coming up in about 25 minutes, we will be celebrating Mass for you, a live broadcast of that. And then 12:30 Central, The Faith Explained with Gail Clark right here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. We are talking about Divine Mercy today. Phone lines are open if you would like to join us. Toll-free number 888-914-9149. And as you think about your journey of faith, what's been your experience of divine mercy? When have you seen God's mercy working in your life? Toll-free again, 888-914-9149. So, Father Dave Heaney, let's head to the phones. And Susan, listening in San Diego, California, thank you for waiting. How are you doing? Great to have you on the program today.
Hi, Chuck. Hi, Father Dave.
Hi.
I've been away from the program for a while because I've had to work from home. And it's so like this right here is a miracle because divine mercy is like my thing. It brought me back to the church. I just wanted to add the part about how Jesus told Sister St. Faustina, that the greater the sinner, the more that they have access to my mercy. And I was one of them. You know, I'm almost 70 now, but when I was 19, I had an abortion. And my mom worked in the rectory 1 year out of Catholic high school, and I knew I was going to hell. I knew what I was doing, that, you know, I couldn't tell my mom. I couldn't break her heart. And then I did it again and again, and then the post-abortion syndrome with the promiscuity. It was the 70s, and then the drinking and all that stuff, okay? And I just stayed away from the church for 28 years. And then, yeah, I guess when... And I had no intention of coming back because I really, really knew. I felt like I could never come back. And then I have a son that was 8 years old, and he said, "Mama, how come we don't go to church?" And then I started shopping around to Protestant churches, you know, those kind of with all the guitars and do-do-do, you know, those kind of churches. And the next thing you know, it was a miracle. It was an absolute miracle. I'm stuck in a Catholic parking lot waiting for my husband to pick up the kids from a Boy Scout thing, and the bells are ringing, and my husband says, "Oh, sorry, you're going to miss your service." Like, "Oh, I'll just go in here. It can't hurt." But I wasn't even sitting down yet before I was sobbing. They were doing the penitential prayer, and I was like, "I've been gone a long time." You know, some lady was, "Are you okay?" I go, "Oh, I'm okay." And then, like, the very next day, I was at a casino in Laughlin, Nevada, wondering, I need to get to a church, right? And right there on the table, Catholic Mass, two different Masses in the morning in the showroom at the Riverside. I was like, wow. You know, like, it was like, once he wants you, it's like the hound of heaven. You can't get away. And then I had the hour-long general confession. Within that week, I go, I should go to daily Mass. Like, these inspirations that you start getting. And I'm sure I'm not alone in this. When you really have to come back, you have to come back. And that was the first time I ever heard the chaplet. And I go, "What's that? What are they doing, you know, after the rosary?" And they said, "Oh, that's the Divine Mercy." And I said, "What? Oh, man, I have to find out about that." And since I've told my testimony, you know, throughout the, you know, 30 years since I've been back, people say, Oh, my son, I wish my daughter." I go, "Look, if I could come back, anybody could come back." Jesus, they just have to open their hearts. Sometimes we have to, like break our heart to let Jesus in, crack that heart open so that he could say, "Yes, I've been here all the time. I'm ready for you. Please come back. I love you. I've never not loved you." And I'm going to cry right now because it's been a long time since I've told this story. And it just amazes me what God can do.
Oh, beautiful Susan, thank you for calling in. You've been amazingly honest with us. Really remarkable journey that you've been on. You know, it's remarkable that, you know, you mentioned that image of the heart broken open so that love can come out. And that's the meaning of the two images, certainly of the Divine Mercy image, the famous one where these red and white light beams are coming out of mercy, but also, and you know, an earlier tradition of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, where the heart of Jesus is just very large and positioned outside his body so that we can see it, so that from a long distance away, the first thing you notice about our Lord is his heart. More than anything else, the first thing that you see from a distance, from a long way away, which we can sometimes feel in our life, that we are a long way away from our Lord, a long way away from church, and yet it is the heart of Jesus that attracts us back. And if you see that first, that's the invitation. That lets you know that it's safe, that you can come back, that you won't be punished or have, you know, years of payback, and that the mercy of God is just fully available to you. So, and I love, Susan, how you're talking about this almost in a very humorous way, kind of, you sound very happy right now. And I think that's the way to look at our past life. It's almost like, you know, what was I thinking living that way? And why did it take me so long? And I'm so glad that I have made that change. And I'm so glad that I'm in the life right now. And it has made you really kind of a happier person, it sounds. And I'm glad that you could share that story and share your happiness with us and share the fruit of your journey, which has just been a beautiful way of receiving the mercy of God and all of the good things that happen from that. So yeah. Thank you so much, Susan, for calling in. It really was a beautiful story.
Yeah, and hey, Susan, if
thanks,
first of all,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. Can I have a question for you? But go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I did that thing you were saying, Father, and everybody. I just tortured myself for all those years saying, no, I can't come back, and my sin's too great, all that stuff that we do to ourselves. And so for all the people out there that think that they did something so bad that God can't let you back, I had 3 abortions, you know what I mean? I was never coming back. You know, I didn't think I could come back. And I'm saying that, please give Jesus a chance to crack open that heart, because and to stop blaming over after you've gone to confession. I tried confession 2 or 3 times during those 28 years. I'm like, no, 3 Hail Marys, really? Really, for what I did? Are you kidding me? I just knew that, no, that's not enough, you know, and I had to suffer. And that was stuff that we put on ourselves. I think the evil one wants us to think those kind of things. Like, my husband and I are still separated, Chuck, but I think that when I realize what God did for me, I know that His divine mercy will extend to my husband. So I pray for him every day, that he will eventually crack into that heart. You know what I mean? Because that's what it takes. And the image, like you said, Father, about the Jesus with His heart holding it out to us. You know, you're right. That's the most vulnerable organ, and He's just holding it out there. Like, take it, please. Here, take my heart. You know, and this month of the Sorrowful Mother, you know, all the prayers that we offer up, and for conversions, you know, we can never stop converting. I'm praying for conversions in your families or your friends, because I know that when I came back, when I told my mom, you know, Mom, guess what? You know, I'm coming back to the church, you know, I'm coming back to the church. She goes, oh, my rosaries. You know what I mean? And I didn't even know she'd been doing the rosaries for me. Obviously she was, but, you know, because she was worried about me for a long time. But anyway, we just can never stop praying, like, in the chaplet, for the sake of the sorrowful passion, have mercy on, you know, us and on the whole world, you know, and those words are really powerful if you take them slowly. So that I do the chaplet really slowly and listen to yourself talking and praying, and that's it. I'm done. What do you want, Chuck?
Okay, well, Susan, first of all, it's good to hear your voice. I got to tell you, you're one of my favorite callers. I love when you call into the program. But the story is just, and I can hear, you know, Father Dave said, you know, the happiness, the joy. I can hear that. Can you paint a picture for us of what divine mercy felt like or looked like in your life when you finally came back?
I believe... I haven't thought about this, but, like, when you think about Mary Magdalene sobbing on Jesus' feet, and that when he said, you know, get up, or the whatever, all those parables and all the stories and biblical truths that we hear, you are so light. It's like all of a sudden you're like 6 years old again, and you're just happy and free, and you're free from your own, you know, demons attacking you. You know, they never stop. I'm not saying they don't stop, but you feel like you can share. You want to share with what happened to you, because it's you can't keep it a secret. You know what I mean? And people notice, like, wow, what's up with her? You know what I mean? That have known you for a long time, and it's like it just keeps going. I've been back for 28 years. I became a Carmelite, you know, secular, but it's like, how did this happen to me? You know what I mean? And you're forever grateful, I believe. So I don't even know if that answered the question.
Well, it did. And Father Dave, happy and free. That's really what you're talking about and what we're talking about today, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the other way of looking at this is, you know, Susan, this was our Lord's will for you. He wants you to be happy. He wants all of us to move from the life that we had before and move into the life that He wants for us now. Not only because it's the right thing, but it is the happy thing. You know, I have come that you might have joy, and joy that is complete. I have come that you might have life, and life to the fullest. Not just life and joy, but the fullest life and the fullest joy. And this is the purpose why Jesus came, not to, you know, not to bring punishment or revenge, but to give us a path, to show us the right path, that we turn from the old path, move on the right path, and find the happiness that we that we need. And I, yeah, it clearly came across in the sound of your voice, yeah. Susan, and certainly the remarkable journey. And, you know, everybody's on their own journey. I hope that your husband will find, the right path as well, and as you have. And all the people that we pray for, you know, St. Monica prayed for her son, Augustine, all these years, and that paid off. So prayer is powerful. But when people finally experience that what the mercy of God is, that Sacred Heart of Jesus, that divine mercy image, I mean, that's why we have these images, because sometimes words don't work, but the image does. And, you know, it's no accident that Sister Faustina, you know, was called to make this painting available for everyone so that they could see it. So if they don't hear the sermon, if they don't hear the message, they see the picture, and the picture can have a powerful effect. They say, oh, I think I get it now. Jesus is merciful, and he wants me to change. So glad you called in today, Susan.
Yeah, Susan, I'm glad you called in as well, continuing to pray for you and your husband, that there will be the healing in your marriage that you want, and that we know God wants as well. But hey, great to have you on the program today. Father Dave Heaney, our spiritual director on The Inner Life, our program about spiritual direction, talking about divine mercy today. Let's stay in California. Another phone call. Hey, Bill, thank you for waiting. We appreciate that. Welcome to The Inner Life today.
Oh, thank you very much. So, Father, yeah, I'm someone who I've suffered from addictions my whole life, and I just wanted to say that, my godfather, when my family would get concerned about me, my godfather would always say, you know, Bill, I want you to go see a doctor, and I want you to go to confession. And so I would always follow up, because I really trusted my uncle and my godfather. And whenever I would go to confession, I would experience that. I would experience just everything lifted off of me. Although I would always be concerned, because, you know, I would go in with a contrite heart, and I would go in finally sober, and I'd say, okay, I never want to do this again anymore. I want to be done. And I would go into confession, and I would confess, and I would feel the weight lifted off of me. But I would always have this worry that I would fall back into it. And then, you know, some years would go by, and sometimes I would, you know, and I would worry that, you know, God wouldn't be able to forgive me. But I would always go back to confession and confess. And I really think that has been the thing that has helped me conquer most of my addictions. And I still struggle right now, but, I have come a very far way, and there's so many things I've been able to leave behind with my addictions, yeah. Just from going to confession. That's what I wanted
said.
To add.
Beautifully said, Bill. And look, it may still be a struggle for a long time, but I'm glad that you've made, and you have a sense that you've made a lot of progress. That's important. You know, I'll tell you, as you know, confession begins with the question, how long has it been since your last confession? And it's beautiful when I hear people say, a long time, 20 years or so. But, there's one question we never ask. We never ask, how many times have you been to confession? We never ask that, because someone can go to confession every week, and sometimes they have to confess the same sins over and over and over again. But that's not an issue. It's actually beautiful that even if they have struggled with the same sins over and over again, they also have that faith and that courage to come back to confession each time. So I always tell people this line I think really makes a lot of sense. We may never be perfect, but we can always be honest. So we'll never be perfect. There may be some sins that we struggle with all of our life. And yet each time that happens, we look at it and we say, oh my gosh, I fell again. And we honestly acknowledge it. We honestly admit it. We give our best effort to try to change. We come back to confession, and God gives us the forgiveness that we need so that we can start over. Each time we start over, we have a little extra grace, a little extra strength, a little extra power to resist, bad temptations. But we'll never be perfect, but we just continue to stay honest. And if we have to keep confessing the same sin over and over again, so be it. Our Lord totally understands. He recognizes the efforts that we're trying to make, cooperating with his grace. And slowly, like you mentioned, Bill, you kind of have seen that progress in your life. So I'm glad to hear that. It's very honest for you to acknowledge the addictions that you have. That's a special burden. That's a special handicap, more so than others may have. So the noble fight that you are undertaking is beautiful, and we just continue to pray for God's grace for you and the strength that you need to keep on going on that life of health and happiness that you're on.
Yeah. Bill, thank you for joining us on The Inner Life today, talking about divine mercy with Father Dave Heaney. And let's take another phone call. Hey, Jason, listening in Arizona, you're up next, and welcome to the program today.
Hello, Father.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Bill's call was, I called to talk about divine mercy, but also that just hit me right at the core. Mm. I also struggle with an addiction, and I've gotten to the point where I'm going probably biweekly at least confessing and the same sin over and over. And I feel like I'm struggling with honesty because my wife condemns me for having to go to confession so often. So I've stopped telling her that I'm going to confession. But that wasn't the reason and I don't know if that's a dishonest thing to do. But, you know, sometimes I want to go to confession even when I haven't committed mortal sin. And what I was planning to call for was about divine mercy. I'm sorry, I just kind of shot out right out the gate here. 3 years ago, I was baptized into the Catholic Church after being a Protestant my entire life. And really struggled with my faith as a Protestant. And just never, you know, as a Protestant, we get to make up the rules as we go. And if you don't like the church you're going to, pick a new church. When I joined the Catholic Church, early into it, as I was exploring the faith, I got mixed up with some Sedevacantist groups and the so-called traditionalist groups. And what they were saying on the surface made sense and felt right. And I started drinking the Kool-Aid. And after about a year and a half into that journey, I started rejecting. I wouldn't pray the luminous mysteries. I wouldn't pray the divine mercy because those things were, according to certain groups, are like, oh, you shouldn't pray those. Those aren't true, you know, things that, you know. So maybe 6 months ago or so, I was in prayer. Because my faith had remained strong through all this. You know, I still absolutely love the church and know that this is the one true church. But I was praying and just occurred to me that I should be praying the divine mercy. And it was just revealed to me, I guess you could say, while I was praying. And then I didn't refuse per se, but I didn't really do it. I just kind of was like, oh, okay, I don't know, whatever. And I didn't think about it a whole lot. And then I went to confession a week or two after that, maybe probably a week or so after this. And part of my penance at the most recent confession after having this revealed to me was to pray the divine mercy. And it just like blew my mind because it was like God was just like, you should be praying this divine mercy, Jason. You need this. and it just like, you know, it was just that powerful to me. And that's really my story in a nutshell. It's not earth shattering, but I love it because God, you know, wanted me to pray it and wasn't going to back off.
There you go. Well, I mean, you experienced that power. Let me just say first about going to confession and your wife. You know, I recommend, you know, not hiding it, telling her, but, you know, don't take it personally. There's no need for you to explain it. You can just say calmly and, you know, quietly that I'm going to confession. But, you know, addiction has this remarkable line that I think is very helpful. And, you know, in recovery programs, they talk about one day at a time because addiction is so powerful. It recognizes that even 24 hours may be a challenge for an addicted person to stay away from that sin. So you're trying to make that promise one day at a time. And they recognize that you may fall, but they also say, you know, try to make that promise as honestly as you can. That's the same that we do in confession. You know, when you go to confession, you can say, I'm going to give it my best. It's one day at a time, or, you know, like you say, every 3 or 4 days you've been going. You recognize that it's a challenge, but you honestly say, I'd like to make a change, and I'm going to try it again this week. And God deeply, perfectly understands, more than apparently your wife or anyone else, So you can just place yourselves in the mercy of God, Jason, and just feel fine about going to confession as often as you need to do. And again, the power of divine mercy, that image, the prayer, the more that those images and those words, you know, seep into our soul, the more we can experience God's mercy, and you know, like you've had, you've found just the right path forward. So I'm glad that you called as well. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Jason. Thanks so much, Father Dave Heaney, our spiritual director, talking about divine mercy. And not a lot of time left in the hour with you, Father Dave, but you said something at the beginning of the program, beginning of this hour, talking about divine mercy, that it's hard for us to understand it or comprehend it because we don't get all that much mercy from other people. So how important is it for us to be the face of mercy for the people in our lives?
Well, just remember this line: what you receive as a gift, you give as a gift. If you have received mercy, you let it pass on. You pay it forward, if you will. You pass it on to others. We had that remarkable gospel just the other day about, you know, the unjust steward. He received a tremendous amount of mercy. Someone owed him some money, and he showed that person no mercy at all. And Jesus really sharply rebuked that person. So what you receive is a gift. Recognize it, feel, you know, good about it. And then because you have felt it has made it such a difference in your life, how wonderful it would be for you to extend that same gift to the people around you. So we're kind of a river. As rivers of mercy flow into us, we let it flow out of us to the people around us.
Father Dave Heaney, our spiritual director today, time to wrap things up. Father Dave, as you know, we'd like to close this hour with a final blessing for all of our listeners.
Thank you, Lord, that we have had this time to share such powerful insights from our callers about mercy. We have a renewed hope in your mercy and the path forward that will lead us to the happiness and peace that is your will for us. We bless your blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Dave Heaney, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on the program today. Thanks to you and our listening audience for taking time out of your day to join us here on The Inner Life. Stay tuned. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we celebrate Mass. And don't forget, 12:30 Central, The Faith Explained with Cale Clark. We're back again tomorrow. Hope to see you then.
Day 10, Mothermost Chase, pray for us. It's not that the church is hung up on sex or the church is prudish. It's simply that the church promotes and defends human dignity and recognizes that the human race is the pinnacle of God's visible creation. Human beings have been created for eternity to give glory to God. That's why the church guards and elevates human sexuality and protects it in the sacred bond of matrimony. Children have a right to know their mother and father. Children have a right to be born and raised in a family, and the human race is a blessing to planet Earth. That's why the virtue of chastity is necessary. It safeguards sex and places it within the stability of marriage. Sex is always safe when used as God has intended it, between a man and a woman, open to life and within marriage. In that context, it is holy. Mother Most Chaste, pray for the Church and our nation.
Receive these free daily messages by signing up at relevantradio.com/novena.